You have arrived at your destination.
That's right, Wildlings. You have arrived at your destination, Sean versus Wild. And you know what time it is, guys. It's time to rock and roll all night and podcast every Tuesday. I'm your host, as always, the man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith, the guy putting rad back into talk radio. And listeners, I hope you're having a great week so far. Hopefully everyone recovered from the weekend. All my 502 crew, my Louisville natives, you know what I'm talking about. You already know why. We had the Kentucky Derby, we had Cinco de Mayo, and my 32nd birthday, all wrapped up one excellent day. I fiesta'd like there's no manana. I had a great time. And it honestly couldn't have gotten any better. But I will say it might get a little bit better here today because we're going to keep the celebration going, keep the good times rolling. And I am talking to someone whom I've been wanting to have this conversation with ever since I decided, hey, I can do a podcast. Let's do one. I want to talk to Bobby Jean Brown. Guys, the video vixen in Warrant's Cherry Pie video. This lady single-handedly inspired thousands of teenage crushes, me included. And she's also the author of one of my favorite rock and roll memoirs, Dirty Rocker Boys, Love and Lust on the Sunset Strip. You guys know I love my 80s music, specifically my 80s metal. So this goes fantastically on my 80s metal memoir bookshelf. Love this book. She's sitting down. We're talking about her book. We're going to be talking about her being married to Janie Lane from Warrant, being engaged to Tommy Lee from Motley Crue. But really, this is fun. It's laid back. We're just chatting. So, you know, she's a Southern girl. We're talking about her going from Louisiana to Los Angeles. We're going to be talking about, you know, her TV work. She did a huge run on Star Search. She's on one of my favorite shows, Married with Children, star reality show Ex-Wives of Rock. She's got some great stories about working with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Vanilla Ice. Word to your mother on that. And a ton more. And honestly, guys, for her full story, I can't stress it enough that you do pick up her book, Dirty Rocker Boys. It's on Amazon. It's in your local bookshop. Personally, I do recommend getting it on Audible as well, like simply because she narrates it and her personality, the charm, it all comes through there in the book. And because you're a listener of Sean versus Wild, of course, you can get a free 30-day trial just for listening to the show. All you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/Sean versus Wild. You sign up for your free 30 days, and then you can get Dirty Rocker Boys on Audible on me. Compliments of me, dude. My birthday present to you. So yeah, audibletrial.com/Sean versus Wild. Pick up Dirty Rocker Boys. Support Bobby. Support the show. Win-win scenario. Yeah, happy birthday to all of us. You know what I'm saying? Also, while we're sitting around chatting about sponsors, got to give a big shout out to my OG sponsor at Audiophile Inc. Shane from Audiophile Inc. is going to take care of you when it comes to your screen printing needs. Shirts, tank tops, sweats, shorts, you name it, you got it. And you're going to get it at the best deal in town, no matter what town you live in, because Audiophile Inc. does ship to all 50 nifty United States. Just visit audiophileinc.com and tell them the Wild Man sent you. But yeah, thanks again, guys, for all the support of the show. Thanks for my birthday wishes. Big shout out to my producer, Joe Brock, for twisting the knobs and booping the dials behind the scenes each and every week. Thanks to Bobby Jean Brown for the conversation. That's it from me, guys. Let's get wild. Listeners out there, Wildlings, you are not going to believe it. Today, I am talking to Bobby Jean Brown, a lady that was pretty important when it came to my childhood. Being a young rock and roller, watching the Monsters of Rock infomercials, and seeing the Cherry Pie video, that lady, I was like, hey, this is a babe. Now I feel like, you know, I feel like I understand what rock and roll is all about here. And today on the show, I'm talking to her. Bobby Jean, how are you?
Hi. I'm good. How are you today?
Fantastic. You know, I've been telling so many people, I'm like, I'm going to be interviewing Bobby Jean Brown. And it seems like the consensus is, tell her I'm in love with her, or tell her I had her poster, or tell her like that video was so iconic to me. So,
yeah. Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, it's exciting to have you. And
thank you.
No problem. And today on the show, you know, I want to talk to you because you put out a book called Dirty Rocker Boys a few years ago.
Yeah.
I have it. It sits right on my bookshelf next to, you know, the Motley Crue, the Guns N' Roses, the Sebastian Bach, all that sort of thing. And I love it. I absolutely love it. It's, to me, it's like, for one, I love to hear about your life story, but it goes into kind of like, you know, it's like Hollywood Babylon. It's all about the kind of crazy stories that went on in Hollywood, in the Sunset Strip, in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, I am trying, my next goal is to have it made into a miniseries or like a movie of the week or something. So I'm working on that right now. But yeah, definitely a decadent time. I mean, there was a lot of books written about that time, but they were all from a man perspective. So I thought, it's time a woman took, you know, a spin on it and said what it was like from the other end of the spectrum. So that's what I did.
Yeah, it's amazing. I actually just recently went back and listened to the audiobook off of Audible, and I love the audio. Yeah. I love the audiobook as well, and you narrate that yourself.
Yes, I do. It was fun. I really love that process too. I tried to make it when I wrote the book. I tried to make it conversational, like as if I were sitting down talking to a friend. So it was an easy read, you know, and it felt comfortable or like it was intimate. And so when I really pursued to do the audiobook myself for that reason.
And that's fantastic.
And I tried to, you know, make it funny and stuff and do voices and imitate people when I was reading it. I mean, they told me not to get too carried away, so I kept it to a minimum. But that's generally my personality anyway. So I think that if anybody knew me or ever met me and got the audiobook, they'd probably like it better.
Yeah, I loved it. And listeners, you guys know that the Sean vs. Wild podcast, my numero uno sponsor is Audible. So just from listening to this podcast, you can go to audibletrial.com/Sean vs. Wild and get Dirty Rocker Boys by Bobby Jean Brown and experience it for yourself for free just for listening to the Sean vs. Wild podcast. And that way you guys know you guys know how awesome it is. And you're right, it is funny. And it's informative, and some of it is a little bit too much information when it comes to the celebrities and stuff you're hanging out with. Leonardo DiCaprio.
You know what's funny? That's true. When I was reading it, like when I was having to do the audiobook, reading it out loud was embarrassing for me, and it was my life. So definitely, you know, it's one thing to like write something on paper and have memory, but to like say it out loud and hear it, it took me back for a second there. I was like, oh, it's kind of cringe-worthy. It's a tongue twister. Yeah, but it kind of made me like embarrassed for myself. Is that weird?
Well, you know, the honesty, people love that though. You know, I found that my podcasts that I feel might be cringeworthy, if I say something that maybe might be cringeworthy, those are the ones that people respond to the most because they just want something honest in this world these days.
You know what? That's my MO. I mean, if anything, I never lie, but I will often tell too much of the truth, is what I've been told. And, I feel like, well, that can't be bad. I mean, it can't be too bad. I mean, maybe it could make situations awkward, but, I feel like even if it's something somebody doesn't want to hear or, you know, at least it's the truth. And I would always, you know, I always prefer the truth over a lie or omitting, you know, being told anything any day, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And in this day and age, like I said, it's nice to just hear a little bit of truth every once in a while, something that isn't just so sugar-coated and middle of the road, you know?
Exactly. And then that's another reason why I wrote the book is because when I did read some of the books that, you know, certain people had written, you know, about that time, I knew firsthand that what they were saying was bullshit, like, or was, you know, sugarcoated or was made to sound, like it served them. You know what I mean? There was no self-deprecation about it.
Right.
And I just thought, you know, that's crap. Right. So I just made sure that when I did mine that, you know, it was going to be the truth, 100%. Plus, I didn't want to get sued, of course, but still, you know, it's like some of the books I had read, I was just like, well, that's just a bunch of crap right there. That's bullshit. So anyway, that's another reason why I wrote my book.
Yeah. And that's why I love it too. It's just the real deal. And just to kind of talk about that book, actually some of my favorite parts about it, are kind of your upbringing being from Louisiana. You know, me, myself being, from Kentucky, kind of southern area. I thought that was interesting. You know, you talking about growing up in Louisiana, what was that like? Can you give the listeners some, insight to your childhood there?
Hot and sticky. It wasn't so much Louisiana that was traumatizing or that you remember. I don't know what it is about growing up that you don't really remember the great things that happened. You always remember the things that traumatized you as a kid.
Right.
I don't know what that's about, but, I grew up in an abusive household. So a lot of that, storytelling comes from that situation. But Louisiana itself, the people are great. And, it's a very warm, welcoming, city and state. And the people are that way. And they go to bed with their doors unlocked and, that kind of thing. So, I had a very supportive, surroundings and friends, and Louisiana was great to grow up,
Right. And then how did you go about being a girl that liked watching, mimicking Tawny Catane and having a poster of Tommy Lee on your wall, to Hollywood?
Super surreal, right? I remember, watching them on MTV, MTV just started blowing up when I was in high school, and that was just all you did was sit in front of that, TV and watch the videos all day long. And, that was my favorite band, was like Motley Crue. And never in my wildest dreams at that moment in my life had I ever imagined that I would be, within the next couple of years going out there to live, to pursue my dream of being a model. I always just said I was going to be a model one day. Like, I'm going to be a model. Like, it was usually in defense of the comments that I would be getting from people saying things like calling me Boobless Bobby or dumb nicknames. And I would just reply with like, you don't need boobs to be a model. And they'd be like, okay, good luck with that, And, but it just was something that I had, I was just reading a book today about this. It's just like that thing where you don't consider it being any other alternative. So it happens. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, so everything that I ever had said when I was a kid, I just never said anything other than that. Like, I never had a doubt in my mind, like, and if that doesn't work, I'm going to be a nurse, anything. It just was what it was. So it happened that way. It's kind of crazy. I mean, I was just walking the mall one day and somebody came up to me and was like, hey, do you want to be in the Miss Louisiana teen pageant? I'd never been in a pageant in my life. I had no desire to be in pageants. And I was just like, okay, I guess somebody had dropped out and they needed a replacement really quick. And I ended up winning. So that's how, my life took a turn for, in this direction. So it's bizarre, but, within high school graduation, I was already on my way out here to go, get signed with an agency. And like I said, I never for one second thought that I would never get signed. Like, I think it's just with age, the more you live, the more fear, you put in yourself and your life and the consequences you start focusing on more instead of just going for things.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I just feel like, I don't know. There was never an option. That's just what I was doing and that was it. And that's what happened.
Yeah. It's like you manifested it essentially.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what, at the time I never even knew what that meant or what that word was. I probably had never even heard it at the time, but now knowing better, I 100% did,
Yeah, absolutely. And so going from LA and stuff like you were on, Star Search and you modeled for quite a few things. What were some of the, I know Budweiser and a bunch of other things that you were doing while you were out there before it was kind of the music video stuff,
Well, actually, the music video, that was the first job I ever booked. So that was the music video for Hurricane.
Okay, so Hurricane's video came before Star Search.
Yes. And then, you know, the craziest thing, I came across this article that the director of Great White, so I did Hurricane, and then 2 weeks later, I booked the Great White Once Bitten, Twice Shy video, and then did their album covers and all that stuff, mm-hmm. which was like within a month time, okay? So, but I came across, like, the director that booked me on that shoot, he wrote some, like, blog online talking about when I walked into the casting, what they thought, how long I had been in town, what he wrote on my picture. Like, he wrote, been in town 2 weeks. He wrote this whole thing, which I read and I thought was super cool. I was like, wow, that's so neat, you know, just to have that flashback of that moment. But that's how that happened. And then it wasn't until later on in the year, I think, that I booked Star Search.
Gotcha. Well, I have to be honest with you. I've never been a huge Great White fan. They were never the band that did anything for me. But over the past month since we've been talking, I've probably seen Once Bitten and House of Broken Love like 1,000 times researching this. So you've changed my opinion on Great White now that I'm in my 30s.
Oh, really? That's cool. I mean, I was never really a fan of any of the bands that I had worked for. I didn't even know who Warrant was when I was hired.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I knew Motley Crue and I knew Quiet Riot, like, from high school. Because, you know, it was a whole scene. It was like, you either like that kind of music and that was the group you were in, or you like that kind of music. So, you know what I mean? I just was following the leader. I wasn't a leader in school, like, in high school or middle school. Like, I was kind of like a follower, and I kind of came into my own when I came out here. But definitely, I mean, Great White, you know, I love them, but they weren't like my favorite band, you know, like, wah, going crazy over it. But right. It was cool. I mean, you know, it did what it was supposed to do for me anyway, right?
Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't be thrilled, no matter what the song would be, to see themselves on MTV or to just get work out in Hollywood, you know?
Yeah. Oh my God. I just found that thing that I was just telling you about. I just walked over to my photo album book and I just found the thing that guy wrote, the director of, The Great White.
And what
That's so crazy.
What does it say? Is it just says been in town two weeks?
It's, I guess the guy's name was Dominic Orlando. See, I didn't even remember that. And this is part of his press package or something. And it just says Bobby Jean. It's a little paragraph. It says One late night a few years back, I was flipping channels and stopped at an infomercial hawking 80s music. What caught my attention initially was a short clip of one of my heavy metal music videos. After the clip ended, a beautiful blonde woman dressed in an 80s, a la 80s, entered the gaudy set as the host. I immediately recognized her as Bobby Brown, the most photographed music video chick of the 80s and 90s heavy metal scene videos. She was best known as the girl in Warrant's Cherry Pie video who dated and married the band's lead singer. She made many appearances in hard rock videos throughout most of the 90s until hair band's popularity waned. Now there she was, some 10 years later, still remembered as the it girl of the later half of the MTV era. She looked somewhat older, but was still beautiful in that California blonde way. Actually, Bobby Jean Brown was from Baton Rouge and was chosen Miss Louisiana Teen USA in 1987, the year before she came out to L.A. It's one more paragraph, sorry. Is this boring you?
No, go ahead. I love it.
Okay. In 1988, which is long year, during pre-production for Hurricane's I'm On TV music video, we looked at, it was for Hurricane, not Great White. Okay, so now getting corrected. We looked at a lot of models and actresses. The part called for an innocent young girl just in from any country who falls into the hand of a big city bad boy played by musician Jimmy Z, a friend of the band. Bobby Brown's headshot had just jumped out of the stack. My executive producer disagreed, saying that although she was cute, she was too skinny, and that video chicks at that time had more curves and meat on their bones. I told him that she was perfect, and I set out to prove it. Taking a short stack of photos of the prospective actresses to the band's practice hall, I buried Bobby's headshot in the middle of all of the others. All four of the band members responded immediately to Bobby's headshot. It was her all-American innocence that caught their attention, as it did mine. Recently, while going through my production archives, I found my casting note. On Bobby's photo, I had scribbled, "Been in L.A. only 2 weeks." I don't know what she's up to now. She did a few films and some TV, including Blind Date. I wonder if she still dates musicians, because on a VH1 interview, she said, "I used to date rock stars, but I don't anymore." And that's it.
Well, that's awesome that you found it. Again, the manifesting, as we were talking about, you know, talking about earlier.
Right? That was so crazy. Yeah, totally.
Just throw it out in the universe.
Yeah. I'm really trying to do that a lot lately. It's really hard, though, because you get so stuck in that whole negative self-talk for so long that you just becomes a way of life and really bad. Like, you know, but a really fine. So basically, I spend a lot of time walking around talking to myself, looking like a crazy person, but really, I'm saying good things.
Well, you know, I feel that 100%. You know, me personally, just so you know a little bit of my background, like, I played drums in a band. It was called Uh-Huh Baby Yeah. We never really went that far, but we toured the country several times over, did some, you know, big tours, whatever the case might be. But, you know, just a few years ago, like, all of that ended. And there was so much stuff that I always wanted to do, and then I was always doubting myself. And I've been wanting to do a podcast for a super long time. And everything ended, and I was kind of just at a crossroads. I'm like, where do I go from here? You know, surely I'll never be able to take up a brand new project and start up a brand new, like, brand doing something else.
Or life. Yeah.
And then, you know, one day I was just like, I'm going to buy the stuff and I'm going to do it. And I haven't missed an episode. And this will be like 76, and it's been put out every week, you know, straight. So I haven't missed an episode. So that's the thing.
That's cool.
Well, thank you.
That's awesome.
Thank you so much.
That's awesome. I thought I was going to do that, and I just got the stuff, downloaded the whole thing, and never did one. So there you go.
Well, maybe this will be your inspiration to continue to do more of your own, because you have a great voice and very funny, very entertaining, and filled with stories, you know?
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I just felt like, you know, I don't know. I have to consider it, because I felt like I don't want to just get on the air and just be like, so what am I going to talk about today,
right.
You know? I just wanted to kind of have I felt like I needed to have a purpose. And then I kind of had an idea, and then a couple of friends of mine went and got signed with Podcast One with the same idea. So I was like, okay, so never mind about that.
Oh, gotcha.
So kudos to them, and hope that goes well. So I'm going to focus on getting my, you know, book made into a movie or a miniseries. That's going to be my focal point for right now. And, you know, that's what I'm working on.
Yeah, well, you got to stay busy. Let me ask you a few questions here, too, because, you know, like I said, you're in this video. That Hurricane song, never heard it before until, you know, read about it in your book. That's a tasty jam. You got me into Great White. You know,
yeah.
And I feel like we have to talk about Cherry Pie, but I feel like me personally, in my head, I have to talk about that Times 2 video, because I saw that and it blew my mind.
That's hilarious. It's so, like, cheesy and, like, dated, isn't it? It's so funny.
Well, I don't know anything about Times 2, but when I saw it, I was like, this is like Milli Vanilli, but...
Yeah, but like the white European version.
Exactly.
And I think that was the only hit, and that was a cover.
Guys, you have to look it up. Listeners, look up Times 2, and it was like, what was that? It was a cover of Simon and Garfunkel.
Cecilia.
Yes, guys.
Yeah, Cecilia, yeah.
To Times 2, Cecilia. Look it up. It will make your day. 100%.
Did you find me in the video?
Oh, yes. Wearing the yellow in the cage? Yeah, found you.
Yeah. Yep, that was me.
100%. Yeah. But yeah, let's talk about Cherry Pie. I feel like that is going to be the big thing that's on everybody's mind when they listen to this podcast. So how'd you get the gig?
I'm going to say you didn't, you heard the audiobook.
I know they saw you on Star Search, but the listeners don't know that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So yeah, he saw me on Star Search and had his people contact me to go meet or audition for it, and I didn't show up. And so then they called me the next day, like, busted. They ratted me out, and then they were like, "So you didn't go in your casting?" I was like, So then they're like, "Well, they want to see you again, so go today. They're going to meet with you at Jerry's Deli in an hour." And I was like, "Well, okay." So I went, and I just walked in, and before I even sat down, they were like, "You have the job." I was like, "Oh, my gosh, okay, thanks." And then I sat down, and I ate off of Jamie's plate, which horrified him. I didn't know that he absolutely hated that, but I did it anyway. Didn't know, didn't care. And I'm still hired.
You got the job. You know, some things they can overlook, yeah. You know, and look how iconic that video is. I would say, you know, one of the most iconic videos on MTV for sure.
Thank you.
And VH1. Like, I found it, of course, like, you know, MTV and VH1 blew that video up whenever I was younger. So,
Yeah.
And what was the shoot like? I cannot imagine. I don't know how much, I don't think you talk about it much in the book, but I cannot imagine getting sprayed with a hose was any fun at all.
It was traumatizing. Okay. First of all, that scene in itself, I told the director, I didn't like the director. The director, he was a misogynist, kind of rude and bossy. And I was like, not having it, because they had so many more distasteful ideas if anybody thought any of the video was sexist or distasteful at all when it came out, which they did, the ideas that he had that I was like, I'm not doing that, was so many more than what you actually saw, that I was like, I spent the majority of the shoot arguing with him about what I wasn't going to be doing.
Right.
And so for that scene in particular, I let him know, because little did I know, I'd never been sprayed with an actual fire hose in my life, obviously.
Right.
The force behind the water, the force, okay, behind the water that comes out of that hose is like a BB gun, 8 million BBs being shot to your eyelids and face, okay?
Right.
So I did not know that. I thought it was like, I'm thinking like regular hose, not even. It almost peeled my face off. And so before I even shot it, just to be kind of like, I'm only doing this one shot anyway, because, you know, automatically I thought I'm going to look hideous after they spray me anyways. But after it hit my face, you see me immediately turn my head away because of how painful it was. And I was like, yeah, that's not happening again. Hope you got the shot, you know. Nobody's here. Relax. Talking to my dog. So that's, you know, that scene was, but it was a 3-day shoot, and everybody else was awesome. It was just the director of that shoot that I was like, nope. I kept butting heads. The scene of me like standing over the lips right after shooting that, the car, like popping up out of the backseat of the car,
mm-hmm.
like right when I'm like leaning in and standing against the lips, I was about to cry in that scene because I was so mad. I was like so pissed off at something he had just said. I don't remember what it was, but I just remember like I almost had tears welled up in my eyes in that scene. And I remember thinking to myself, there's no way they're going to use this scene, right? Because I just have no emotion. I'm looking at him like, I can't stand you. You know, I'm about to walk off. It was so gnarly, but they used that shot anyway. So every time I see that, I'm always like, yeah. Remember that. But Janie sent me flowers to the set, and I mean, it was an ongoing thing though. Like he was super nice, everybody else was super cool, but the director was a total jerk pretty much the whole time, and we fought from the moment I got to the set to the moment I left.
Let me ask you this question too. How much back, you know, you're talking about like people having backlash when it came out. When I was kind of revisiting the book, I was like, I wonder how much backlash people are giving the video now, you know, now that everybody's offended about everything. I wonder gets backlash now.
No, they don't. I mean, it had so much backlash then that I feel like, I mean, it's way too old for anybody to have any commentary about it now, because look at how trashy the world has become since, you know,
right.
What I mean? when it, you know, everybody's sexting and nobody gives a shit to be naked anywhere or finger banging themselves on a cell phone or like whatever they're doing,
right.
Which is mind blowing. So pretty much that video is like nothing to kids these days, you know?
Yeah. I was just curious if you, if that happened to be a thing again, if that ever resurfaced, but yeah, so
no.
You did the video and you got married to Janie Lane.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. you know, in the book, you talk about, you know, good times, but also some sad times, too. And that's kind of a,
yeah.
especially, you know, kind of a more downer part of the book for me. Not just this,
yeah.
not just this part with Janie, but also kind of like the treatment that you got at the hands of some of these other people as well. I felt,
mm-hmm.
that's my thing about the book. I was like, you know, it's so cool that she's like meeting all these people and like, you know, telling Kevin Costner to like, you know, fuck off or whatever the case might be, you know? I was like, you know, some of this yeah. is really cool, but I felt so like, it was sad for me when I kind of stuff with like Janie Lane and Tommy Lee, when that stuff doesn't, you know, work out, that was very sad as a reader to hear
yeah.
hear you say that.
Yeah. And trust me, I tried to make it as light as I could with that. You know what I mean? Like, because I certainly didn't want the book to. I'm never a victim, and I never like anyone ever thinking that I am. And I certainly didn't want to come off like I was being one. And I didn't want the reader to feel that that's how I felt, because I chose all of my own situations. I stayed for the length of time that I did or didn't leave, and all of those things were my choices. So I didn't want people feeling sorry for me. So that's why I added that last bit at the end, you
right.
know, just to make sure that, like, you know, that everybody was aware that I'm not throwing a pity party for myself. Like, I'm fully aware of the accountability that I own here. So don't want that anybody feeling sorry for me. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
And, yeah. The victim stance on any woman is not one that I think is attractive ever anyway. So, you know, I just always feel like pull your big girl panties up and, like, you know, pop your collars and move forward. I don't know.
Right.
But, I mean, definitely went through a lot of crap in my, you know, my youth and the experiences here because, you know, I didn't grow up here. So, you know, I trusted a lot. I still am very trusting. It's just, I think you either are a certain way or you aren't, you know, and I don't think that any amount of abuse will lend me to not still trust people when I meet them. You know what I mean? That's just who I am because I'm trustworthy. So therefore I don't know how not to trust people because that's what I offer, you know? So it's really weird. And there's been times I've even tried to talk myself into that. Like, oh, from now on, I'm not going to trust people. I'm going to be like that. Yeah, good luck with that. You can't make yourself be that way. It's like,
right.
you know, you either are a lover or you're a hater, or you trust people or you're not. You're either shady or you're good. It's like I don't think I could become that way even though I wanted to be, you know?
Right.
I was going to be hard. Well, if I was hard, it was just a fake front, you know, because it was covering all the soft that was on the inside. But you know what I mean? Like, it never got to me, to my core, and like changed me as a person. It just hurt my feelings a lot, you know? So,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, I still trust just as much as I ever did. I may not be a fool for as long as I used to be. Like, I think I get it a little faster these days. Thank God. But, you know, it still ultimately didn't change me.
Right.
Like, you know, entirely. Well,
that might be a Southern thing, because I feel like I was kind of raised that way, too, being trusting and all that good sort of thing. Must be a Southern thing, you know?
It is. It is, because I'll tell you what, people out here don't have that.
Right. Yeah, I've been out there a few times.
Yeah.
I can definitely relate to that. And, you know, in your book, you know, I just wanted to kind of talk about this because, you know, in your book, you're talking about, you know, of course you're talking about Janie Lane, you're talking about Tommy Lee, you're talking about, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio and Dave Navarro and all these people and all these kind of sordid characters. But the,
yeah.
my favorite man that you talk about throughout the book is Mr. Earl.
Oh, everybody says that, but that's a Southern in you, I think.
It could
be. A lot
of
people do say that, though. Yeah. or my brother. They'll be like, I loved your brother in the book, or, you know, how you talk about your brother and Mr. Earl.
Yeah, that's my...
So, but is it because I called him Mr. Earl or just Mr. Earl in general?
Well, I just love everything that you were saying about him. Just like, he just seemed like, you know, the way you wrote about him, it was just like, he was very caring and very endearing, and he looked out for you. And, I don't know. I just love that. I love the, just the character of Mr. Earl in the book. So.
Yeah, he worshiped my mom.
Yeah. He seemed like a really nice gentleman, in that book.
He really was. Yeah, he never raised his voice the entire 20-something years they were married.
That's fantastic.
Well, my brother was raised under his roof. I was raised under my dad's roof. So my brother has the demeanor of my Mr. Earl, and I have crazy, nutty dad demeanor.
Gotcha. You know? You're headstrong and ready to take on the world.
Yeah, I'm a fighter. I speak my mind. I cuss a lot. My brother's like, you know, mild mannered and soft spoken and, you know, super nice and like all those things. Like, my brother's awesome. But yeah, so me and my mom, cray. My brother, Mr. Earl, we're chill.
Nice. Well, you know, something that you don't go into too much detail with about the book that I actually really wanted to talk to you about. One of the whole reasons why I was like, I got to talk to Bobby Brown. Okay. One of the reasons is, you know, somehow you kept coming up in things that I was seeing randomly. So some friends of mine and I like to have some drinks and watch movies. One movie in particular we've watched hundreds of times, not because it's the best movie, but because it is Cool as Ice, starring Vanilla Ice.
Oh my gosh. That's hilarious.
But
oh my gosh.
The day that I somehow snapped out of, you know, my buzz and I was like, that's Bobby Brown. That's Bobby Jean Brown from the Cherry Pie video as Monique.
Yeah.
Giving the digits
to
old Rob Van Winkle there. What was that experience like? If I don't ask about Cool as Ice, I feel like my friends will not be appreciative of this. How was that experience?
Well, okay, so this is, let me break it down for you. Let me see. He was the hugest, he was like Justin Bieber of his time, right? So he was like Justin Bieber time, but Vanilla Ice guy at the time. So he was the hugest like pop sensation in the world at the time. And everybody was clamoring to be in that movie. And they gave me the part. I didn't audition. And which was fine for me. I didn't care. Now, remember one thing. I was never impressed by anybody. I didn't care because, again, I was a Southern kid who didn't, you know, glamorize like celebrities, or I didn't have posters on my wall except for Motley Crue in high school. But like, I never did that whole, like, I was never a fan of anybody really. And even then I was still cool about things. Like, I was never the typical fan, and not short for fanatical about anybody. So, so when I went to the set, like, he had that whole cast was like literally ironclad. Like, there was like Naomi Campbell was in it performing and blah, blah, blah. There were all these people. She was super bitchy, on the set, by the way. She was super rude. I remember that. And I just remember being like, oh my gosh, it was on the Universal set. And it was just such a big deal, you know? And I went there, and then I'm just sitting there being annoyed because I'm super impatient as a person in life. And I'm always just like, oh my gosh, I can't sit still. I have ADHD. So I'm like bored. I'm like, oh my gosh, when is this going to be over? When am I going to go? Cause it's always hurry and wait. And so he came to my trailer. I opened the door and he's all, yo, yo, yup, yup, what's up? And I was like, what? And he said it again. Yo, yo, yup, yup, what's up? And I was like, wow. And I just walked back in and closed the door. And they were just like, so then he kind of felt like, oh gosh, he was kind of, I think he probably thought I'd be like, oh my God, hi.
Right.
Oh my gosh, hi. You know, like, yeah, hi. Oh my God. Well, yeah, like super, I don't know. I'm excited. And I was just like, ew. So grossed out. I was like, oh my gosh, what a, you know, dip. And I closed the door and he was like, you know?
Right.
And walked away. So then when we had to do our scene, he was completely reeled back, like, didn't even want to, like, oh, hi, like, nervous almost. And I just played it off, like, oh, I don't give a care, you know, I'm doing my scene, whatever, and then leaving. But he was just, like, he super didn't try that move again after that and was very polite. And then after that, you know, many years later, he always would invite me to his shows because I think he tried to do like a rock thing after that,
right,
years later. And he would come to L.A. and every time he would have a show here, he would somehow reach out, find a way to reach out to me and get me tickets to the show. And I would go and, like, you know, whatever, and that would be it. But I haven't talked to him since then, and that was before he ever did any reality TV, so that's been a really long time. But that was my experience doing that movie.
Yeah, needless to say, Vanilla Ice went full method acting, okay? He didn't break character the whole time. He was just, yup, drop the zero, get with the hero the whole time. Is that what you're saying?
Whole time. Whole time.
Did not break character.
Yeah. Nope.
Somebody get whole that man time. An Academy and Award.
Yeah, it was pretty, and I was not impressed. I was like, wow, that's pretty lame. So,
yeah. Also, too, it's a 1-2 punch because I watched Cool as Ice, and then maybe 2 months later, I was revisiting some movies. Pop culture, nostalgia, that sort of thing is huge for this podcast. And, you know, that's kind of who I am. I love my 80s and 90s and movies and music and all that good sort of thing. And, I threw on Last Action Hero, and lo and behold, in my favorite scene of the movie, now that I'm an adult and I can distinguish one person from another. Yes.
Yeah.
Now that I'm an adult, I'm like, I always love that scene because it's like there's a Sylvester Stallone Terminator thing. So that's what I always remembered as a kid. I watched the movie.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, there's Bobby Jean Brown saying, hey,
yeah,
my number is 555-3812.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a cool suit. I did have to audition for that part, but I got it, and I was shocked because I wasn't an actress. Like, anytime I ever did any acting roles, clearly we can all observe that I wasn't the best actress. And
I think
I wasn't
you nailed
ever
it.
Really, given that many lines.
I think you nailed Last notice? Action Hero.
Are you really okay? Well, anyway, thank you.
You're welcome.
It would be so minimal any acting jobs I ever did that I would say the line so many times that it would start to sound weird. You know what I mean? Like, all happy day, you know, like it would just come out weird because it was so unnatural because it was so minimal. But, I remember, everybody was cool, except for the girls, cause all the girls were trying to be competitive, which I never was. And I didn't care. We shot in Malibu, and when I had to do my scene with Arnold, I just remember thinking, oh my gosh, he's so short. Like, because you never imagine that because he's so big, like in life, like
right.
Bodybuilder, you just picture him being this big guy, right? And they literally had to get 2 apple boxes for him to stand on to do that scene with me because I was taller than him. And he, of course, didn't want to be shorter than me
right.
in that scene. So they stood him on 2 apple boxes. And I just thought to myself, people are going to not believe me when I tell them this, you know?
That blows
yeah,
my mind. Honestly, that blows my
yeah,
mind that he's that short.
He is. And a lot of actors, famous actors, actually are. When I would meet them, I'd be like, this is so crazy. Because you don't ever imagine them being a short person. And the majority of male actors in this town are. So it's kind of crazy. So he had to stand on 2 apple boxes to be taller than me. And I thought that was bizarre. And then they would have to cut and then take him off. And when he did the walking away part, so it didn't, you know, obviously he wasn't jumping down off a ladder. So it was just so funny to me. I just thought to myself, oh my gosh, he's kind of tiny. And, yeah, and he was kind of flirty a little bit, but I didn't understand a freaking thing he was ever trying to say to me because of his accent. Us Southerners don't get accents really well. Like, we'll be like, what? What are you saying?
Right.
Like, what? Like, we don't pick up on them easily, especially, like, I'll be like, what are they saying? Even still to this day when I watch people and they have, like, a really thick British accent, or I'll be like, what? I still do it. And I did not understand his flirtations at all. So I would just be like, you know, like, like just giggle and be like, yeah, whatever you're saying, dude. So I just didn't respond really. He just probably thought I was stupid or whatever. Didn't care, wasn't interested, and didn't matter. But still, he was just, you know, trying to make conversation mid-take, and I'd be like, okay, I don't know what you're saying.
Right.
You know? And so, anyway.
Also, too, I happened to acquire, 3 or 4 years ago, the entire series of Married with Children. You know, as a kid, I wasn't really in tune to Married with Children, but once you get some years under your belt as a guy and you get just kind of, you know, you just grow up and the world has kind of frustrated you in many ways, Married with Children is a hilarious show. And again,
about a lot of shows.
Right.
Back then. Like back then when they were huge, I didn't watch them so much. Now when I go back and watch them, I totally get them and appreciate them and think they're awesome.
I'm also that way about Frasier, which was a show I was like, this is dumb. Now that I'm an adult, I'm like, Frasier's hilarious.
Me too. And Friends.
Yeah, I love Friends.
Yeah.
I
agree. 100%.
Love Friends. But I loved an episode that I did see. Again, this was like another thing. It's like, it just kind of popped up. Maybe this podcast was manifested because you kept popping up there. The episode where Al and Bud are following you around the grocery store, dropping, you've dropped your flea bomb. You've dropped your broccoli spears. Love that episode.
Yeah, that was great. And everybody there they were really awesome. The only person that was lukewarm to, you know, befriend me was, pick one guest.
Was lukewarm? Christina Applegate?
Yes.
Nailed it.
Yeah. But she warmed up because I was literally there more than any other, you know, extra type actress girl. Because I had done like 3 different episodes at that point. And so by the end of the 3rd episode, she was friendly, you know?
Right.
Having to see me, I guess. I don't know. But it's not like we ever hung out or anything after that. But everybody else was super, super nice.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love Married with Children. Yeah. And like I said, I saw you on that. Between that, Cool as Ice, Last Action Hero, and just, you know, loving, you know, Warrant and the Cherry Pie video growing up, I was like, I randomly sent you an email. I was just like, let's just see who would, you know, if anyone would respond to this. And sure enough, here we are having a conversation. It has been manifested, guys.
There it is. There it is. It worked.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, too, I want to talk to you about Ex-Wives of Rock.
Okay.
So, you know, you're on a show. It ran on Fuse here in the U.S. here for about 3 years.
It did. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying Access, but yes, on Fuse it did. It came out on Fuse.
Yeah, and I have a few, like I said, in my musical background, we played Warped Tour and stuff like that. So, like, they had Warped Roadies on Fuse right around the same time as Ex-Wives of Rock. So
that's what, because the one guy from there wanted to go on a date with me, so they called him and had him do it on camera, and I was like, okay.
How was the date?
So, he was super young, which is what I tend to get usually, like super young guys hit on me. I don't get that, but he was super young, and I was like, okay. But no, I wasn't into it. He was, you know, he was nice though, and we remained friends.
Right. Well, do you ever, you know, now that the show's wrapped, I was going to say, like, do you ever, like, still, I mean, do you still hang out with Charisse and Athena and Blue and all that and everyone?
You know, I would have said yes until, 5 months ago, 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the only person I talk to anymore is Charisse.
I always liked Charisse on the show, so... Good pick. Yeah. And I actually saw some stuff where you guys were on the set of the Dirt movie recently.
No, we weren't on the set, actually. We were, the girl who plays Charisse on the Dirt movie read my book and then had hit Charisse up to obviously meet with her because she wanted to, you know, do some research on her. as her character.
Right.
And then read my book doing so along the way and told her, oh my gosh, bring Bobby to our meeting because I loved her book and I would love to meet her too. So I went and met them at lunch, and coincidentally, her current boyfriend was in my book. So when she was reading my book, she was like, what? She read a story that included her current boyfriend, but from like 20 years ago.
Right.
Which is crazy. So she was like, that was another coincidence. And then she's a now friend of mine. And so we weren't actually on the set because I would never be allowed or invited to the Motley Crue, the dirt set.
Right.
These days. But Levin Rambin, who plays Charisse, awesome girl, is now a friend. And she's actually who I'm talking with about, you know, she and I are in talks about getting my thing made into a movie, because I feel like it would be perfect timing with The Dirt coming out. If anybody never wanted to see The Dirt, but wanted to see Dirty Rocker Boys, they would surely watch The Dirt after, or vice versa.
Right.
But I think it's a really good idea or time to like pitch my idea, because that would just go hand in hand, I think, for whoever picked it up, you know?
And I feel like they're opposite sides of the same coin, you know? So maybe you want to see what that story was like from, you know, the women's point of view that were there on the Sunset Strip in the 80s, you know?
Right, exactly. So I think that they would compliment each other in a way that isn't complimentary to each other. Does that make sense?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this question. This is the hot topic. When you mentioned having it made into a mini series earlier, I was going to ask you, but who would play you if you had dream casting, if you had carte blanche there, who would play you in the Dirty Rocker Boys movie?
See, so many people ask me this question and I'm so not up on current events and celebrities. I don't know who the hell is who out there these days.
Gotcha.
And there's so many people who consider themselves celebrities compared to who, like back when I was coming up, like you had to be able to do something well to be able to, you know, to have somebody think that you're famous. Just because you have, you know, 10,000 followers does not make you famous back when we were in the entertainment industry. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like that was before social media and the computer. And now that's all that matters to people, which blows my mind. But anyway, that's a whole nother topic. I just think that, you know, I don't know who anybody is, so I couldn't say. Like, I wouldn't know who anybody would be current to be like, oh, she would be good, because I have no idea.
Well, if I had to pick for you, I got to go with my girl Jennifer Lawrence right here from Louisville, Kentucky, and she's out there making.
You know, somebody else said that.
Huge.
Somebody else said
Hollywood.
That same thing too. That's crazy.
So
you know what? I think you're right, because I think her personality reminds me of me now, and then too. Like I feel like her personality, even though she does have the round face, like she does have similar looking features.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like her personality is very, very well matched for that. But I don't know that she would want to do that, because you know she's a fucking, you know, like an award winner. I don't know that she'd want to play Bobby Jean Brown. However, but hey, if she did, I'd totally welcome it.
Well, this is me manifesting it, and you think about it too, and then you manifest it. And J-Law,
hey, you know what? I'm not going to be negative. She's going to play me.
Yeah, there you go, J-Law. If you're listening to this podcast, you've been challenged by Bobby Jean and Sean here. Also, come on the podcast. You're from Louisville. I'm from Louisville. Let's make this happen. So, but yeah, and so what? I guess as we're kind of winding down here, thank you so much for all the time you've given. But you know. What's life like for you now? What's your normal day to day like, and what are your interests and what are your passions now here in 2018?
It's just so crazy. You know, it's like, because I'm running these online clothing stores, the designer vintage clothing stores that I do now, and I sit in front of a computer a lot. So it's kind of, like not as exciting. Like somebody asked me what I did for fun the other day, and that's when I realized I'm really not that much fun anymore. Because I don't really do anything that's so fun. because I'm constantly, you know, I'm on the grind trying to make things happen, trying to, you know, make ends meet. I'm not in a relationship. I don't have some guy paying my bills. I never have, really. And I've always, you know, wanted to pursue my own thing. But, like, especially now that I'm single again at 48, it's kind of like, what am I doing, you know? So I really am trying to focus on trying to get things to happen, you know, right. Career-wise that I've wanted, instead of just kind of, like, sitting back on that. And that's about it. Like, literally, I just said the other day, I'm like, I don't know if I'll ever meet anybody, because I think you have to go outside and let people see you for that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know. So, and then the online dating thing is like, wow. I have a whole comedic stand-up routine on that alone. I don't know what's going to go down, but that's pretty much it, to be honest with you. And I know that sounds super thrilling, but I spend, you know, the most pleasure I get out of my life anymore is spending time with my nephew, my 2-year-old nephew, mm-hmm. who brings me all the joy in the world. But that's about as fun as Bobby Jean Brown gets these days.
Hey, nothing wrong with crunching numbers, putting it out there on the internet, and, you know, yep. making your new dreams, your new pursuing your new goals, you know? So, and I love the yep. fact that you run into the same issues with online dating than I do. You know, I have like, I'll get on Tinder and it'll be like, you match with somebody, and it's like, hello. And then they never speak to you again. I'm like, great. I'm glad that
yeah,
I have Tinder.
I don't use Tinder anymore. Yeah, I did. That's how I met my last boyfriend, who I was with for 4 years. And I think it was a little bit better then. I think that Tinder is now the new hookup site. I think that everybody that I know that's single, that is attractive and cool or whatever, is on Bumble.
Yeah. See, Bumble hasn't made it out here to Louisville so hot right now. You know, I have seen Bumble before.
Really?
Yeah, where the ladies, mm-hmm. it's ladies' choice. It's Sadie Hawkins for Tinder dating.
See, that's the thing, though. That's unfortunate, because I don't, like, after I match with somebody, I'm all, next. I don't even ever reach out to them hardly. Like, I'm yep. hardly ever on there. So that's the problem with that site, I have to say, because 90% of the time, they'll never get to communicate with me because I'm not going to reach out.
Right. 2 years later, you get that, you know, you're like, oh, hey, I matched with this guy. Yeah. And hey, how's it going? Great. I've been married for 18 months, you know, at that point.
Yeah. I've had guys like, hit me, like look me up on like Instagram and went like, we matched on Bumble. Was that an accident? Like, you never reached out to me and I still don't reply. I'm like, oh, geez.
Well, I'll tell you what, next time I'm in LA, yeah. I'm going to get on my Bumble game strong, and hopefully we'll be able to chat again soon on that. And Bobby, as we come to the end of the road here for the podcast, where can people find you? You know, you said you're in front of a computer. Where can people find you online these days?
I mean, my store, bobbyjeanbrown.net, my Insta, which is brownbobby. Or Facebook, Bobby Jean Brown 92, Bobby Jean Brown fan page, at Bobby Jean Brown on Twitter. Basically, that's pretty much it. I mean, or Bumble. No, I'm kidding.
Find me on Bumble, obviously. Look me up there. That's going to be the first place.
Yeah. If you just want to see my pictures and never talk to me, go there. So
fantastic. Well, listeners, all those links are going to be in the show notes. So I'll have all those. So all you have to do is click and enjoy, you know, everything that is, Bobby Brown. So I know I've been following you on Twitter and Instagram and all that good sort of thing. And, you guys need to do the same as well. And, also, listeners, if you like what you heard, and something tells me you did because you made it all the way to the end of the podcast, if you like the podcast, like, share, and subscribe. It's on iTunes. It's on Spotify. It's on Stitcher. It's YouTube, wherever you get your stuff, Facebook, all that good sort of thing. So make sure you check out the podcast there and check out Bobby Brown. And Bobby Jean.
And Dirty Rocker Boys.
Yes.
And Dirty Rocker Boys. And hopefully we'll be watching it in movie form soon. Not hopefully, we will be.
Yes, we will be, because we're manifesting stuff. That's what's hot right now.
That's right. That's what we're doing.
And listeners, also don't forget, go to audibletrial.com/SeanVsWild, sign up for a free 30 days, and you're going to be able to download Dirty Rocker Boys to your phone just for listening to the Sean versus Wild podcast. I would highly recommend it. Super entertaining. Loved listening to it. And Bobby Jean, loved having you on the podcast. Thank you so much again for doing this.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Excellent. And guys, this has been the Sean versus Wild podcast.
Thank you for listening, DNN.